भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। You can recite the prayers together. नारायणं नमस्कृत्य together. नरं चैव उत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायशभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So we will continue and try to finish chapter 12 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto today. So working. Should I wait, Prabhuji, or continue? So we will continue with Srimad Bhagavatam, and today hopefully we'll finish the 12th chapter. Last week Harivalla Prabhu covered till verse 29. So I'll quickly review this chapter so that we know where we are. So this is a conversation between Shaunaka Rishi and Suta Goswami, and Shaunaka Rishi is asking about this wonderful personality Parikshit Maharaj, you know, like how was he born, how did he die, please tell us more about him, like how was he born in the womb of Uttara and so on. And they were very eager to hear about Parikshit Maharaj. So Suta Goswami starts by talking about how Parikshit Maharaj was born in the womb of Uttara. So while Parikshit Maharaj was in the womb of Uttara, as you see here, it was scorching heat because of the Brahmastra from Ashwatthama. It was very hot, and at that time Krishna came and protected Parikshit Maharaj. And if you see, Parikshit Maharaj is actually examining Krishna at that time. And beautiful descriptions of Krishna are mentioned, that he was in yellow garments, he had four arms, and he was circling his mesh, the mace, gada, yeah. And that was covered from verses 4 to 18. And then Maharaj Yudhishthir asks the Jataka Vipras, or the learned Brahmanas who are expert in astrology, to talk about the details the future of Maharaj Parikshit. So they actually compare Maharaj Parikshit to wonderful personalities like King Ikshwaku, King Sibi, Arjuna, Ranti Dev, Bali Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj. They say that this was covered very nicely by Harivala Prabhu. He actually went into detail of each of these things. And then they also mention about his future, like how he would be bitten by the snake bird Takshaka towards the end of his life, and how for the last 7 days he was actually listening to the Bhagavatam. And then the last verse that Prabhu covered last week was, so the Jataka Vipras, after being sumptuously satisfied, remunerated, they returned to their respective homes. So now, today what we will cover, we just have 6 verses to finish, so we'll probably finish soon. So today we'll talk about why the name Parikshit was given to Parikshit Maharaj. And we'll also talk about a slightly different topic about Maharaj Yudhishthir actually performing 3 horse sacrifices, Ashwamedha Yajna, because the battle of Kurukshetra just finished and he wanted to atone for the sins that he thought he committed, right? And Lord Krishna leaves to the city of Dwaraka. That's how this chapter ends. So let's start with the 30th verse. We can all recite the verse together. Saesha loke vikyatah parikshit prabhu purvam drishtam anudhyayam pariksheta nareshyaha. So his son would be famous in the world as Parikshit, examiner, because he would come to examine all human beings in his search after that personality whom he saw before his birth. Thus he would come to constantly contemplate him. So if you see some of the words in this verse, purvam means in the past, drishtam means what he saw in the past, anudhyaya means he was constantly contemplating, constantly thinking of what he saw in the past. So actually when he was in the womb, he actually examined Krishna, but he did not know who he was. Somebody came and saved him, but he did not know who he was. So throughout his life, he was actually whomever he was meeting. Is this Krishna? Is this Krishna? Is this Krishna? Like that he was thinking, right? So he was constantly engaged in devotional service by remembrance. That's what Srila Prabhupada says. So Srila Prabhupada, the other meaning I wanted to mention, the other meaning of Parikshit is Pariksha. Pariksha means examination. So he was actually tested towards the end of his life, right? So he had this opportunity to glorify the Pandavas, to continue the lineage, the wonderful lineage of the Pandavas. And at the end, he was actually tested by Sringi, like when he was cursed by Sringi, to see, I mean, and then he did the 7 days, he left everything and he went and heard Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days and he left this world in a wonderful way. So, let's go to Srila Prabhupada's purport. I'll read slowly because it's a wonderful purport. Maharaj Parikshit, fortunate as he was, got the impression of the Lord even in the womb of his mother, and thus his contemplation on the Lord was constantly with him. Once the impression of the transcendental form of the Lord is fixed in one's mind, one can never forget him in any circumstance. Child Parikshit, after coming out of the womb, was in the habit of examining everyone to see whether he was the same personality whom he saw in the womb. But no one could be equal to or more attractive than the Lord, and therefore he never accepted anyone. But the Lord was constantly with him by such examination. And thus Maharaj Parikshit was always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord by remembrance. And then Srila Prabhupada continues and says that every child should be given that impression of the Lord from a very young age. Right? He quotes Srila Jiva Goswami remarks in this connection that every child, if given an impression of the Lord from his very childhood, certainly becomes a great devotee of the Lord, like Maharaj Parikshit. One may not be as fortunate as Maharaj Parikshit to have the opportunity to see the Lord in the womb of his mother, but even if he is not so fortunate, he can be made so if the parents of the child desire him to be so. So here Prabhupada is saying that every child from the very childhood should be given an impression of Krishna. And we see Prabhupada's disciples also actually trying to give Krishna consciousness to children, right? One example is Rompada Maharaj. Actually, I was going through his site, and this exact same purport is there on his webpage. If you see, every child, if given an impression of the Lord from his very childhood, this is actually the same purport, 1, 12, 30. We see that the disciples of Srila Prabhupada are also trying to give Krishna consciousness. That's one of the main things. Children's education is one of the main projects. No? So that's exactly what Srila Prabhupada says here in this purport. Prabhupada, this is another thing, that Prabhupada gives a practical example in his personal life in this connection. And he mentions, so this is Gaur Mohande, and this is Srila Prabhupada when he was young. So my father was a pure devotee of the Lord, and when I was only 4 or 5 years old, my father gave me a couple of forms of Radha and Krishna. In a playful manner, I used to worship these deities along with my sister, and I used to imitate the performance of a neighboring temple of Radha Govinda. By constantly visiting this neighboring temple and copying the ceremonies in connection with my own deities of play, I developed a natural affinity for the Lord. My father used to observe all the ceremonies befitting my position. Later on, these activities were suspended due to my association in the schools and colleges, and I became completely out of practice. But in my youthful days, when I met my spiritual master, Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, again, I revived my old habit, and the same playful deities became my worshipable deities in proper regulation. This was followed up until I left the family connection, and I was pleased that my generous father gave the first impression, which was developed later into regulative devotional service by his divine grace. Then he gives the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj also advised that such impression of a godly relation must be impregnated from the beginning of childhood. Otherwise, one may miss the opportunity of the human form of life, which is very valuable, although it is temporary like others. So even here we see like little children like Aryan, they're all, every day he comes to Mangalarti, you know, without fail. Like from a very young age, every morning he gets to see the impression of the Lord, right? And that is what Srila Prabhupada is saying here, that one should be constantly engaged in the devotional service of the Lord by remembrance. So the two main golden rules of sadhana bhakti are always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So remembrance, so if you take the impression of the Lord in the morning and keep that impression throughout the day, in that way Krishna stays with us, right? So throughout the day, if we can remember that impression of the deities in our house or in the temple throughout the day, then the Lord is always with us, right? And same with the holy name. When we chant in the mornings, if we can remember the holy names throughout the day, like then Krishna, we can always remember Krishna throughout. And then service unto the Vaishnavas also, right? If we can serve the Vaishnavas, by serving the Vaishnavas, we get the mercy of Krishna through the Vaishnavas. So the mercy of Krishna through the mercy of the devotees. Krishna se tomara, Krishna dite paro, tumara shakati ache, amito kangala, Krishna Krishna boli, dayatava pache pache. So Krishna is yours. So this is in the song, in the bhajan, Ohe Vaishnava Thakur, Krishna is yours. You have the power to give him to me. I am simply your servant, running behind you, shouting Krishna, Krishna. Right? So if you think about it, Srila Prabhupada has given the morning program, which has all these things actually, by which we can remember Krishna throughout the day. Right? Every morning, the first thing we do is we see the deities. So we can remember Krishna throughout the day by that impression. Right, Madhav Gaurang Prabhu, you've been coming. And then we can chant the holy names, by which we can remember throughout the day. And then we have an opportunity. So there is Naam, Daam, Deity, Devotee and Bhagavatam. All 5 things in the morning program. Right? There is the holy name and the temple is the holy Daam. There are deities, there are devotees and there is Srimad Bhagavatam. So all 5 things Srila Prabhupada has given so that we are protected throughout the day. So that we can remember Krishna throughout the day. Like that. So the other thing that Srila Prabhupada focuses in the purport, as we just read, is that every child from a very young age should be given an impression of the Lord. So in that purport, we just read that Srila Prabhupada thanks two people. Who are they? I'm just quizzing because Amritan Prabhu told me that I should ask questions. His father and Guru Maharaj, right? Two fathers. So, Gaur Mohande, so the mercy of the father to his son by bringing many devotees to the home to bless him. So basically what Gaur Mohande, Srila Prabhupada's father, used to do is that he used to bring many sadhus to the house and used to ask all of them that please bless my son so that he becomes a devotee of Srimati Radharani. Always. And then they used to bless him like that. So Srila Prabhupada is recognizing that and being very grateful. And the other thing is, he also thanks, he talks about the mercy of the spiritual master. So your mercy, this is that Gurudev Kripa Bindudhya, your mercy is all that I am made of. If you are not merciful unto me, I can only weep and I will not be able to maintain my life. Right? So, and then I was hearing Rompad Maharaj's class where he mentions this particular example of Advaita Acharya. There's a temple of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur, Chaitanya Chandrodaya Mandir. Right, Prabhu? Basically the pujari of that temple revealed this in the 1980s. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was a grihastha, he used to go to that temple regularly when he was young. And then he used to sit in one corner and quietly chant. And he used to be very attentively, he used to chant and used to go away. And then for a few years, Srila Prabhupada did not come. And then in 1965, that pujari saw Srila Prabhupada again, where he was in saffron and he was a sannyasi. Right? And then that particular evening, Srila Prabhupada was weeping like anything. And then this pujari went and said, oh, I know you because I've seen you in the past. And now, why are you crying like this? So then he explains that tomorrow I'm going to Calcutta and I'm going to leave to perform a mission which is impossible, to convert the Westerners into devotees. So I'm praying so that I can receive the mercy of my spiritual master through this on this day. You know, so he prays to Advaita Acharya, because Advaita Acharya in one sense was the main person who started. So Srila Prabhupada was actually praying to Advaita in that temple just before he went to the US, because he said, my spiritual master has given this and I'm eager to get his mercy. Right? So he prayed, and then this later on, that pujari in Advaita Acharya temple, he reveals this in the 80s to when he saw some of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada come, and he tells them that this Abhay Babu, he was here before and he cried a lot the day before he left. Right?
He saw it on the mic.
He saw it in the Back to Godhead magazine, exactly. Exactly. Yes. He saw it in the Back to Godhead magazine, correct. Yeah. So again, so this is in connection to the mercy of the spiritual master, because every child should be given an impression of the Lord from a very young age. And Srila Prabhupada was eager to receive that mercy. So Prabhupada later explains that service is the essence. And when we serve genuinely towards Vaishnavas, we can carry that consciousness that we have later on, you know, in the next step of our life. So, the next verse. Saraja putro vartate ashu shuklo yudhva apuryamana prithibhi kasta bir ivaso anvaya. As the moon in its waxing fortnight develops day after day, so the royal prince Parikshit very soon develop luxuriantly under the care and guidance, under the care and full facilities of his guardian grandfather. So, one thing is, this verse does not have a purport. So, but Maharaj Yudhishthir, when he asked the Jataka Vipras, the learned Brahmanas, he asked just one question, that how will this boy, Parikshit, continue the lineage? How will he continue the great lineage? Will he follow the great lineage? Was what he asked. And that's when the Jataka Vipras tell so many glories about him. So, and Rompad Maharaj mentions in connection to this verse, that as Rupanugas, as follower of Rupa Goswamis, day by day we have to question ourselves how much we are actually following Rupa Goswami in this moment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, And then, so with this verse, the pastimes of Parikshit Maharaj end in this chapter, and it continues again in the 16th chapter, where Sudha Goswami, the first verse, O learned Brahmanas, Maharaj Parikshit then began to rule over the world as a great devotee of the Lord under the instructions of the best of the twice born Brahmanas. He ruled by those great qualities which were foretold by expert astrologers at the time of his birth. So if you see unveiling his lotus feet also, the chapter 12 is combined with 16, 17, 18. Because then the next three chapters talk about different subject matter. So now we'll turn to a slightly different topic. We'll read the words together.
Yakshyamano Svimipena Jati Droha Jivasya Raja Labdha Dhano Dhyaya Nayatra Karadandayu.
Just at that time, King Yudhishthir was considering performing a horse sacrifice to get freed from sins incurred from fighting with kinsmen. But he became anxious to get some wealth, for there was no surplus funds outside of fines and tax collection. So this was the time when the battle of Kurukshetra just ended, and Maharaj Yudhishthir wanted to perform this horse sacrifice because he thought that he had committed a lot of sins, because around 6 million people had died in the war, right? So, but actually, if you think about it, he was following the instructions of Krishna. It was a Dharma Yuddha. So in one sense, he had not committed any sins, right? But because of the Vaishnava compassion that he had, Vaishnava qualities that he was thinking that he had committed a lot of sins, right? So the purport is, so Srila Prabhupada says, as the Brahmanas and Vipras had the right to be subsidized by the state executive head had the right to collect taxes and fines from the citizens. After the battle of Kurukshetra, the state treasury was exhausted, and therefore there was no surplus fund except the fund from tax collection and fines. Such funds were sufficient only for the state budget, and having no excess fund, the king was anxious to get more wealth in some other way in order to perform the horse sacrifice. Maharaj Yudhishthir wanted to perform this sacrifice under the instruction of Bhishma Dev. So basically what's happening is Maharaj Yudhishthir wants to perform the sacrifice, but because the battle of Kurukshetra has just taken place, the treasury, all the money is exhausted. So he is anxious to get some wealth. And the other thing, as we mentioned, is that the nature of Maharaj Yudhishthir is feeling because of his wonderful nature, he's feeling the heaviness of what has just happened. Right? So it was a Dharma Yuddha, it had to be done. And in life, we see that even during service, it happens that always somebody gets hurt sometimes, even during service. We have seen that. It is unfortunate, but it is also sinful, because knowingly or unknowingly, we are hurting somebody. So how do we atone for such sins? Because they say that with every sin, there is a side-by-side atonement, prayaschit, for that sin. Right? So I will give some examples here. So we'll start with Srila Rupa Goswami's example. There was this one time where in Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami was meditating deeply, and he had entered into the eternal pastimes where he was Rupa Manjari, and he was actually meditating on that pastime, you know. And he saw the gopis were decorating Krishna, decorating Radharani, and Krishna comes in the back. And then they gave a mirror to Radharani, and Radharani sees, and then she sees Krishna in the back. And then everybody starts laughing. So Rupa Goswami, at that time, he starts laughing, right? And at that time, a leper actually comes to meet Rupa Goswami. And he sees that Rupa Goswami is laughing, so he thinks that Rupa Goswami is laughing at him because of his leper condition. So then immediately that vision goes away for Rupa Goswami. Right? Even though he did not want to hurt that person, because knowingly or unknowingly he had hurt that person, that vision went away. And that devotee also left, that Vaishnava also left. And then Rupa Goswami starts thinking that why did this happen? I must have hurt somebody. I must have hurt somebody. So he goes to Sanatana Goswami, and then Sanatana Goswami says, let's organize a big feast for the entire village. The person who does not come will know that he has been hurt. We will know that who has been hurt. So then they organize a big feast. And then this one, that leper, that person who will not come, And then they know that Rupa Goswami somehow hurt that person. Then they go and Sanatana Goswami asks him, and then he tells that, oh, I was slightly hurt because Rupa Goswami was laughing at me like that. Then he understands, and then he tells that you can never judge a pure devotee like that. Sanatana, you can never understand the qualities of a pure devotee. Then Rupa Goswami also goes and hugs that devotee, and then there is prayaschit, atonement, you know. So like that. So even in service, sometimes we may knowingly or unknowingly hurt somebody. So Radhanath Maharaj says, you can please some of the people some of the time, but you cannot please all of the people all of the time. Right? So if you're in the manager position, Amritan Prabhu, you can tell that you can please some of the people some of the time, but you cannot please everyone all the time. Right, Prabhu? There's always somebody that you may hurt, you know. In your case, you please everyone, but... one of the greatest encumbrances that impedes a devotee's advancement is that we are too much concerned about what society will think of us. If you want to please the society, then you have to be just like the society. You have to be just like the society. In the society, everyone has a different opinion. If you become very popular, that means you are going to be, to that extent, very unpopular against the other people. And they are going to destroy you and kill you. Right? If you become popular, we have seen politicians, anybody. If you become really popular, there will be a class of people who will have hatred towards you. Right? So it is very common. And so Jesus Christ also mentioned that you cannot serve two masters. And a common example is, like supposing, like if you see devotees and non-devotees, like people who are non-devotees, they come and see the devotees dancing, they think you're crazy. And we say that they are crazy because they are engaging in so much sense gratification. If you think, so you cannot serve two masters at the same time. It is, and the other thing, analogy is, like initially when we come into Krishna consciousness, let's say there's a material boat and a spiritual boat. We place one leg in the material boat and one leg in the spiritual boat. And then both the boats keep going. And then we think, oh, everything is going fine. You know, I'm doing so well at work. I'm doing so well at my spiritual life. So everything is going wonderful. But then at one point, what happens? Krishna wants to test you. So these two boats start going away. So what happens, Aryan?
You start, like, you don't know which boat to jump into.
You don't know which boat you want to jump into. Exactly. So you have to jump into one of the boats, right? Otherwise, you'll fall. So you have to jump, you have to make a choice and jump into one of the boats. So at that time, that will be the real test where you actually have to jump into the boat of the spirituality, of Krishna consciousness, like that. So I'll talk about more about the atonement of sins that we may commit. So the next verse, you can all recite together. Tad abhi pretam alaksha bharata dhanam brahina udisham purusha. Understanding the hearty wishes of the king, his brothers, as advised by the infallible Lord Krishna, collected sufficient riches from the north left by King Maruta. So Srila Prabhupada spends the big chunk of this purport talking about King Maruta. So King Maruta, actually, very briefly to summarize, there was this big mountain of gold. At the time of King Maruta, I'll just explain, like we think that we have made a lot of material advancement, right? And what do we eat usually? Like what do we eat on these days? On paper plates, when we all like eat on paper plates, right? So in those days, and what do we do after eating? We throw it in the dustbin. In those days, they had gold plates, and after eating in the gold plates, they would actually throw the gold plates in the dustbin. So Maharaj says, Rampal Maharaj says, that actually we think that we're making advancement, but see, to what they were so much satisfied that they did not care about gold. If just imagine these days, there's one gold plate, how much carefully we'll buy. So some background to King Maruta. This is exactly from the purport. One of the great emperors of the world, he was one of the great emperors of the world. He reigned over the world long before the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthir. He was the son of Maharaj Avikshit and was a great devotee of the son of the sun god known as Yamaraja. His brother Samvarta was a rival priest of the great Brihaspati, the learned priest of the demigods. He conducted one sacrifice called Shankara Yajna, by which the Lord was so satisfied that he was pleased to hand over to him the charge of a mountain peak of gold. This peak of gold is somewhere in the Himalayan mountains. And Prabhupada encourages us like later. And modern adventurers may try to find it there. So he was so powerful an emperor that at the day's end of sacrifice, the demigods from the other planets like Indra, Chandra and Brihaspati used to visit his palace. And because he had the peak gold peak at his disposal, he had sufficient gold in his possession. The canopy of the sacrificial altar was completely made of gold. In his daily performances of the sacrificial ceremonies, some of the inhabitants of the Vayuloka, airy planets, were invited to expedite the cooking work of the ceremony. And the assembly of the demigods in the ceremony was led by Vishwadeva. And it continues, by his constant pious work, he was able to drive out all kinds of diseases from the jurisdiction of his kingdom. All the inhabitants of higher planets like Devaloka and Pitruloka were pleased by him for his great sacrificial ceremonies. Every day, he used to give in charity to the learned Brahmanas such things as bedding, seats, conveniences, and sufficient quantities of gold. Because of munificent charities and performances of innumerable sacrifices, the King of Heaven, Indradeva, was fully satisfied with him and always wished for his welfare. Due to his pious activities, he remained a young man throughout his life and reigned over the world for 1,000 years, surrounded by his satisfied subjects, ministers, legitimate wives, sons and brothers. Even Lord Krishna praised his spirit and of pious activities. He handed over his only daughter to Maharaj Angira, and by his good blessings, he was elevated to the kingdom of heaven. First of all, he wanted to offer the priesthood of his sacrifices to the learned Brihaspati, but the demigod refused to accept the post because of the king's being a human being, a man of this earth. He was very sorry for this, but on the advice of Narad Muni, he appointed Samvarta to the post and he was successful in his mission. So again, we are talking about King Marutta and how this peak of gold was available at that time, because right now the context is that Maharaj Yudhishthir wants to perform this sacrifice and he's short of money. So Krishna advises Maharaj Yudhishthir to get gold from this peak of gold so that he can carry on with this sacrifice, Ashwamedha Yagya. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that this kind of sacrifice is not recommended for this age, you know. And then he goes in detail. The success of a particular type of sacrifice completely depends on the priest in charge. In this age, all kinds of sacrifices are forbidden because there is no learned priest amongst the so-called Brahmanas who go by the false notion of becoming sons of Brahmanas without Brahmanical qualifications. So this Ashwamedha Yajna, the way it's done is that the three horses were supposed to be sacrificed in the fire, and out of that sacrifice, three young, rejuvenated horses would come out. And they had the qualifications in those days, and they used to chant the mantras in a particular meter, in a particular way, by which these things would happen. So in these days, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that we cannot perform such kind of sacrifices. So what can we do if we cannot do that? So we'll see that. But before that, Ramapada Maharaj mentions that Tvashta, in those days also, if you made one small mistake in chanting the mantras, you could get an opposite reaction. So Tvashta, who was the father of Vishwarupa, like he was killed by Indra. Vishwarupa had three heads and he was killed by Indra. And Tvashta being the father, he did a yajna because he wanted to kill Indra. He wanted to create many enemies who would go and kill Indra. So he makes one mistake while chanting the mantra in the yajna. In the words that he uses, Indra Shatro, so he makes one mistake in the length of the meter. I think he goes longer or shorter or something. And instead of being the enemies of Krishna, Indra, who is enemies, and that's when Vitrasura comes out of the yajna. And then there is this wonderful battle that happens between Vitrasura and Indra, in which Vitrasura, even though he was a pure devotee of the Lord, he was Chitraketu in his previous birth. And he dies. So anyway, the point here is that Tvashta, he made a mistake while chanting, even in those days, like one small mistake, and that could completely change things. So it was so difficult to perform these sacrifices, even in those days. So there is no question of performing sacrifices now, is the point. The other thing is, Srila Prabhupada clearly explains that someone may question immediately, right, why is Mother Maharaj Yudhishthir killing three horses? Why is he performing a horse sacrifice? Then again, Prabhupada answers that immediately, saying that animals offered for the yajna were rejuvenated to a new span of life by the transcendental powers of chanting the Vedic hymns, which, if properly chanted, are different from what is understood by the common layman. The Vedic mantras are all practical and the proof of rejuvenation of the sacrificed animal. So then what do we do? If we cannot perform these kinds of sacrifices, what do we do? But we have to do something. We have to do some prescribed duty. So then Prabhupada mentions that in this age of Kali, therefore only one kind of sacrifice is recommended, that is the Sankirtan Yajna, as inaugurated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as we were talking in the Holy Name seminar also, we should never underestimate the power of congregational chanting of the holy names. It is always very effective when, as devotees, we come together and chant the holy names. Why is it very effective?
The Lord is present
personally. So when Narad Muni went and asked Vishnu that what is it, where are you present in this age of Kali? He says, Naham Tishtami Vaikunte. I do not reside in the Vaikunta. Yogina Hridayeshuva. I don't reside in the heart of the yogis. I reside where my devotees with bhakti are chanting my names. So that's why we should always take part in the congregation chanting of the holy names. And we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you remember any picture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is always chanting, right, along with devotees in the congregational. So, and Prakashananda Saraswati also, initially when he came, he questioned Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that why are you chanting and dancing and crying like sentimentalists, you know, you should spend more time cultivating knowledge. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answers him in a very humble way, saying that I am actually a fool. I have no intelligence to cultivate knowledge. And my spiritual master asked me to chant this mantra over and over again so that I can elevate. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions that whenever I chant, I feel so blissful that I am always in the association of the Lord. And then obviously he defeats Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur, and then he converts all 60,000 disciples into devotees. So, yeah. Next verse.
Tena sambharo dharma putro yudhishthiraha vajini dhaistribhirbhito yagne samvaitrim.
By those riches, the king could procure the ingredients for three horse sacrifices. Thus, the pious king Yudhishthira, who was very fearful after the battle of Kurukshetra, pleased Lord Hari, the personality of Godhead. So now the riches have been acquired. Basically, Maharaj Yudhishthir sent his brothers to go to the peak of gold, get all the money, and they could perform the sacrifice. So one important point that Srila Prabhupada focuses on is that thus the pious King Yudhishthira, who was very fearful, so even Maharaj King Yudhishthira was very fearful of the sins that he thought he had committed. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that as devotees, we must also be very fearful of the sins that we may commit. So we'll, before that, there is this one other point. This is directly from Srila Prabhupada's purport. Even Maharaj Yudhishthir had to collect the necessary heaps of gold left by Maharaj Maruta and the Brahmanas, who were given gold in charity by King Maruta. The learned Brahmanas could not take away all the loads of gold given by King Maharaj Maruta, and therefore they left behind the major portion of the gift. And Maharaj Maruta also did not again collect such heaps of gold given away in charity. Besides that, all the golden plates and utensils which were used in the sacrifice were also thrown in the dustbins. And all such heaps of gold remained unclaimed property for a long time till Maharaj Yudhishthir collected them for his own purposes. So Lord Krishna advised the brothers of Maharaj Yudhishthir to collect the unclaimed property because it belonged to the king. The more astonishing thing is that no subject of the state also collected such unclaimed gold for industrial enterprise or anything like that. So even though there was so much gold, they did not think, oh, let's construct something, let's come up with something which will make us more. They were completely satisfied essentially. This means that the state citizens were completely satisfied with all necessities of life and therefore not inclined to accept unnecessary productive enterprises for sense gratification. Maharaj Yudhishthir also requisitioned the heaps of gold for performing sacrifices and for pleasing the Supreme Hari, personality of Godhead. Otherwise, he had no desire to collect them for the state treasury. So he had no desire to collect it for his own thing, but he just wanted to use it for the sacrifice. Whereas if it was now, we would collect it and store gold. Anyway, so the other point that Srila Prabhupada mentions is the fearful of sins. One should take lessons from the acts of Maharaj Yudhishthir. He was afraid of sins committed on the battlefield and therefore he wanted to satisfy the supreme authority. This indicates that unintentional sins are also committed in our daily occupational discharge of duties. And to counteract even such unintentional crimes, one must perform sacrifices as they are recommended in the revealed scriptures. So even unintentional ones, we must perform sacrifice. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yajnartat karmano nitya yatra lokoyam karma bandhana, that one must perform sacrifices recommended in the scriptures in order to get rid of commitments of all unauthorized work or even unintentional crimes which we are apt to commit. By doing so, we shall be freed from all types of sins. And those who do not do so but work for self-interest or sense gratification have to undergo all tribulations accrued from committed sins. Therefore, the main purpose of performing sacrifices is to satisfy the Supreme Hari. The process of performing sacrifices may be different in terms of different times, places and persons, but the aim of such sacrifices is one and the same at all times and in all circumstances, which is satisfaction of the Supreme Lord Hari. This is the way of pious life and that is the way of peace and prosperity in the world at large. Maharaj Yudhishthir did all these as the ideal pious king in the world. If Maharaj Yudhishthir is a sinner, this is very interesting. If Maharaj Yudhishthir himself considered himself as a sinner in his daily discharge of duties, in royal administration of state affairs, wherein killing of man and animals is a recognized art, then we can just imagine the amount of sins committed consciously or unconsciously by the untrained population of Kali Yuga, who have no way to perform sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord. The Bhagavatam says, therefore, that the prime duty of the human being is to satisfy the Supreme Lord by the performance of one's occupational duty. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13. We have this verse for memorization. Can anybody guess what the verse is? Yes. How does the verse start? No. Ata pumbir Samsiddhir Haritoshan. So, we have to perform our prime duty and the essence is that the goal should be to satisfy Lord Hari. So, the point that Srila Prabhupada is mentioning is that we have to be conscious and we have to be fearful of the sins that we perform. Right? And actually Maharaj Parikshit himself asks this question. In the fifth canto, the last chapter of the fifth canto actually explains the description of the hellish planets. It clearly says, for this sin, you'll go to this hellish planet. For this sin, you'll go to this hellish planet and suffer like this. If you read the chapter, you get scared actually. So after listening to that, Parikshit Maharaj immediately asks, oh, greatly fortunate, opulent Sukadeva Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pains. Right? It is, what do we do? How do we atone for, to not enter into the hellish planets? So, and as I mentioned, for every sin, there is a side-by-side arrangement of prayaschitta. So, what is the prayaschitta for this? And then Srila Prabhupada mentions that let any man of any place or community, caste or creed, be engaged in any sort of occupational duty, but he must agree to perform sacrifices as it is recommended in the scriptures for the particular deshakala, for the particular time, place and person. In the Vedic literatures, it is recommended that in Kali Yuga, people engage in glorifying the Lord by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Rajat. Without offense. By doing so, one can be freed from all sins and thus can attain the highest perfection of life by returning home back to Godhead. So the goal should be to satisfy Hari. Goal is in the satisfaction of Hari, whatever we do. So actually, Krishna is actually even more eager than us to have us go back home, back to Godhead. There was this one little pastime in the Skanda Purana where there's a mouse and it sees in the deity, it goes to the altar and there it sees diya burning. It thinks it's some sweet. It smells ghee and it thinks it's some sweet. So it goes and puts it in the mouth. And then it starts, because of the pain, this burning pain in the mouth, it starts dancing, jumping up and down. And the Lord sees that the mouse dancing, and because of that, he thinks that it's a wonderful service that you're rendering to me, and he takes him back home, back to Godhead. So even though the mouse, did not, so the Lord is so merciful. The Lord is so merciful that all that we have to do,
go to the diya and.
Doesn't mean that we should. Yeah, Madha Gauram Prabhu is saying we should put a disclaimer here, saying that we should not try that experiment in our house. So anyway, the point is that the goal should be always that we should keep that, we should satisfy Lord Hari like that. And we just have two more verses. We'll quickly finish.
Ahuto Bhagavan Ashna Yaya Chitva Vijay Rudpam Uvasa Kichitam Asan Shudam Priyakamaya.
Lord Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, being invited to the sacrifices by Maharaj Yudhishthir, saw to it that they were performed by qualified twice born Brahmanas. After that, for the pleasure of the relatives, the Lord remained a few months. So in the purport, again, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the point that you have to be qualified before you perform certain yajnas. So, Lord Shri Krishna was invited by Maharaj Yudhishthir to look into the supervision of the performances of yajna, and the Lord, to abide by the orders of his elderly cousin, caused the performance of yajnas by learned twice born Brahmanas. Simply taking birth in the family of Brahmana does not make one qualified to perform yajnas. One must be twice born by proper training and initiation for the bona fide acharya. One more quiz question here is that there was one brahmana and a son. The son was not qualified and he made an offense. Can you guess who that, in relation to Parikshit Maharaj? Very easy. No, Shingi. Yes, Shamik Rishi and Shingi. So even though Shingi was the son of a qualified brahmana, it does not mean that he was qualified, right? So that's what Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here, is that one must be twice born by proper training and initiation from a bona fide acharya before he performs yajnas. The once born scions of brahmana families are equal with the once born shudras, and such brahmana bandhus or unqualified once born scions may be rejected for any purpose of religious or Vedic function. Lord Shri Krishna was entrusted to look after this arrangement, and perfect as he was, he caused the yajnas to be performed by the bona fide twice born brahmanas for successful execution. The last words.
Yes.
Tato Krishnaya saha bandhubhi yayau dvaravatim brahman rajyato yudhibhir vritaha.
O Shaunaka, thereafter, the Lord, having bade farewell to King Yudhishthira, Draupadi and other relatives, started for the city of Dwarka, accompanied by Arjuna and other members of the Yadu dynasty. There is no purport to this verse, so I would like to stop here. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
I have a question. So in the Kurukshetra battle,
yes.
64 crore people
yes.
died. And
when I see pictures and all that, looks like those chariots and armors and all that is also made of gold.